Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Psalms. Psalm 83, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 83, verses 1 through 6. A song of Asaph. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites. All of these are against you. Lord, we would ask that you would be with Dan as he brings us his word this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Psalms that Dan just read says a prayer to frustrate conspiracy against Israel. Against their enemies. And he recounts how God had led and how he dealt with the different enemies. And the very last thing he says in the Psalms, it says that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. He's praying that God would deal with them, not that he would deal with them. How many times do we, when we have enemies, we want to take them out? You know, that's kind of my attitude, you know, if I don't put God in place, that I want to do it. I want to take care of the problem. But we need to trust God that God will do it. Amen. The title of the study today is Trusting God in Troubled Times. I believe that we're right before Jesus comes in that time. We're told that things are going to get kind of crazy. Things are going to be, there's going to be troubles. And we need to be thinking differently. That's what repent means, to think differently. You know? And we want to take care of it ourselves, but we can't take care of that ourselves. It's only through God that we can take care of this. I want to look at a couple things in Scripture. A situation where trusting God really paid off. And I love the book of Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah, he's a regular guy. You know, he gets frustrated, he's scared, he's like, Lord, what am I doing, you know? But Jeremiah trusted God. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29. I'm going to jump into the middle of it, middle of the that chapter, and then we're going to go back. Verse 11 through 13 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Let's go to verse 14 also. "And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." What a promise. He put that promise in there to show that things are going to be crazy for a while. You're not going to really probably like this, but I have a plan for you. Let's go back to the first part of that chapter now. "And now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon." So is that a pleasant time? They're captives. They're dragged off out of their homes, and they're taken to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah, the king, the queen mother, the eunuchs and princes, and the smiths of Judah and Jerusalem, and the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. To seek a place of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place." And then he goes on to say, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil. I give to you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." Jeremiah sends a letter and says, "Look, keep living life. God has a plan, and he's promised that at the end of 70 years, he's going to be calling everyone back, taking them back home. Verse 15, because you have said, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David, concerning all the people who dwell in this city, and concerning all your brethren who have not gone out with you into captivity. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will send on them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like rotten figs that cannot be eaten, that they are so bad. And he goes on to tell that they're going to be destroyed because they didn't listen to God. But he says, those of you that have been taken into captivity, have not fought this, continue to live. I have plans for you. Now let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 38. Bear with me on names, pronouncing some of these names. We're going to start right in verse 1. And you can read the names there. And they heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken to all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, he who remains in the city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes over to the Chaldeans shall live. His life shall be a prize to him, and he shall live. Thus says the Lord, the city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore, the princes said to the king, please, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakens the hands of the men of war who remain in the city, and the hands of all the people, by speaking such words to them. For this man does not seek the welfare of his people, but to harm them. Now, this is a group of guys that are very influential. They go to the king and they say, put Jeremiah to death because we don't like what he's saying. And the king, Zedekiah, says, look, he is in your hand, for the king can do nothing against you. What type of king is that? What? A weak one. You know, we call him a wimp. He caves into these guys. So they take Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon at Malchiah, the king's son, into the dungeon of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison. And they let Jeremiah down with ropes in the dungeon. There was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sank in the mire. So Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. When the king was sitting at the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is likely to die from hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from here 30 men with you, and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went to the house of the king under the treasury, and took from there old clothes and old rags, and let them down by ropes into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, please put these old clothes and rags under your armpits under the ropes, and Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with ropes and lifted him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Now, you know, the king caved to these influential guys. He was afraid of them. And he says, well, there's nothing I can do to stop you. Just go do what you want. And then Zedekiah, the king, sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance of the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I will ask you something. Hide nothing from me. And Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it to you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you advice, you will not listen to me. So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord lives, who made our very souls, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hands of these men who seek your life. And Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the Babylon princes, then you shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire. You and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then the city shall be given to the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape their hand. And Zedekiah said, the king said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hands and they abuse me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver you. Please obey the voice of the Lord, which I speak to you. So it shall be well with you, and your soul shall live. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the word of the Lord has shown to me. Now behold, all the women who are left in the king of Judah's house shall be surrendered to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, your close friends have sat upon you and have prevailed against you. Your feet have sunk in the mire, and they have turned away again. So they shall surrender all your wives and children to the Chaldeans. You shall not escape from their hand, but you shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and you shall be caused, and you shall cause the city to be burned with fire. So he's telling him, look, you have two choices. You can either obey God and live, or you can disobey, and you're not going to live. You're not going to survive. And if you disobey, the city is going to be burned too. And then Zedekiah says to Jeremiah, don't tell anyone that you told me this. Tell him something else. If you're questioned, well, the guys who were seeking his life came and questioned him. He told them what are you supposed to tell them? They weren't real happy with it. They didn't want to obey God. And in chapter 39, it says, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and besieged it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, the city was penetrated. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Nergal-Sharezer, Shamgar, Nebo, Sarsakim, You get it, all those names again. Okay? And the rest of the princes, the king of Babylon. So it was when Zedekiah, king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them, that they fled and went out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls, and he went out by way of the plain. But the Chaldean army pursued them, overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had captured him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes in Riblah, and the king of Babylon also killed all the nobles of Judah. And moreover, they put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with bronze fetters to carry him off to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away the captives to Babylon, and the remnant of people who remained in the city, and those who defected to him with the rest of the people who remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left the land of Judah to the poor people who had nothing and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. They disobeyed what God had to say. Had to try doing it their own way. And look what happened. Continue reading in chapter 39. It says, now Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look after him, and do him no harm, but do to him just as he says to you. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent a bunch of his people there. And they sent someone to take Jeremiah from the court of the prison and committed him to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should take him home so he dwelt among his people. Jeremiah was faithful. He didn't try doing things his own way. He spoke the words of God. And look what happened. The king of Babylon puts his guard over him and says, just do what he says. Do no harm to him. He was saved. Why? Because he fully trusted God. Amen. Amen. You know, what do we have to learn from this? You know, God has given many warnings for us in Scripture. Are we following those warnings, following what he says, or are we trying to do it ourselves? You know, let's go to Matthew. Book of Matthew, in chapter 24. Yeah. start at the beginning. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Now, the temple was a great thing for Israel to be saying, look how great we are, look at our temple. And Jesus says to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. So he's telling about a destruction of the temple of Jerusalem again. And now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, they asked him three things. Tell us when these things will be. What's the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answers all of those questions. But what's the very first thing Jesus tells them? Take heed, what? No one will deceive you. What was happening with Zedekiah? He was being deceived by his influential people. And look what it cost him. Jesus goes on to say, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. There's going to be some that deceive saying that they are the Christ, but there's others that are going to come to you and say, look, I'm a Christian. You got to learn from this. But if it doesn't follow these words, if you're going to listen to that, you're going to be deceived. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. And we see that happening. Nations will rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. We see that. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. This next one, this next verse, it says, then many will be offended. Are people offended now?
Yes.
Over the stupidest things. Yep. They'll betray one another and will hate one another. They hate people because they're offended. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, and lawlessness is abounding now, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. Those that trust God.
Amen.
And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, the prophet, standing in the holy place, and he talks about, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. He's talking about here the time of the destruction of Jerusalem. And it says, let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babes in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. And then he goes on talking about the time of the end, because he's answered all the questions that the disciples asked him. It says, and then there will be a great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Isn't that incredible? God says, yeah, you're going to have problems. I'm going to cut those days short to save you. All these wonderful promises mixed in with all these warnings. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. He says, I have told you this beforehand. He said, look, I'm warning you, all these things are going to happen. What was the first thing he said? Don't be deceived. He says, I'm warning you of all these things. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Don't fall for the deception. And then he says, immediately after the tribulation, those days the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. The powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. What promises that he gives us. In Jeremiah's time, we see Jeremiah the prophet speaking, saying, look, if you do this, you'll be saved. If you don't, you're going to be destroyed. And Jesus has given us warnings, and he's given us promises. And he says, look, if you heed these warnings and follow my way, you're not going to be destroyed. Amen. You've got eternal life.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I want to close with what I believe is such a wonderful promise. And it's in the book of Revelation. And it's chapter 21. And starting with verse 1, it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. This is after the 1,000 years. This is New Jerusalem coming down. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountains of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, oh, the Zedekiahs, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He says, don't be the cowards. Follow me. Trust me. And inherit eternal life. We're on that brink of Jesus coming. Yes. Yes. Are we going to trust what God says? Or are we going to try doing it ourselves? My prayer is that each of us will trust what God has to say. Amen. That he is our God. Amen. He says, I have my thoughts for you are thoughts of peace, not of evil. He says, and when you search for me with all your heart, you will be found by me. And I will hear your prayers, he says. Our prayers are, Lord, help us to be faithful, amen, to trust you, and to share eternity with you. Amen. Our closing hymn today is 461, Be Still My Soul.
Thank you.
Our benediction is taken from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.